Good morning. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. Before I forget, my name is Katie Flynn, and I am a member here, and I'm happy to join in worship with all of you this morning. We'd like to especially welcome people who are here for the first time, or those of you who are just starting to join us weekly for worship. We hope that the welcome team will find you, and I know that Barbara Fote is here, so she will find you. That's not a bad thing. She's not pushy or anything like that. She'll be great. But she'll most likely hand you one of these brochures, and it just tells you a little bit about us, all the things that we offer to the community and ways that you can become involved. Also in your bulletin, you'll see this yellow slip of paper. It serves two purposes. The first is an attendance slip so that we know that you're here, we can greet you, and if you want to contact the pastor or have her contact you, she can do that on this side of the paper. On the other side of the paper is a spot for prayer requests. So if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with the congregation later in the service, please fill this out and we'll let you know when the ushers will come forward and collect this. I've mentioned the bulletin a few times. That's an abbreviated order of worship. You're going to see more detail on the screen in the front, but if you'd like something to hold on to with more detail, you can scan the QR code on the back of the bulletin, and it'll give you the full order of worship. If you're looking for restrooms, you can find both men's and women's out this door to my right. And we encourage all of you to join us in the gathering room following worship, also through this door to my right, following service. And we just have a time of conversation and fellowship and a cup of coffee or maybe some juice. I know that there's some bagels left for you to take home if you're interested in those. We have a safe sanctuary policy, so we ask that all adults who have brought children, please stay with your children at all times in the building. Now, moving on to the bulletin and ways that you can get involved this week or going forward. There's a ton of announcements in here, and I encourage you to take this home and look at it throughout the week. A couple to bring your attention to. I should have led with this. We're happy to welcome our guest preacher this morning, Deborah Slater O'Connor. She's lovely, and you can meet her right after the service, and we're going to have a great service, so I'm excited about that. Pastor Alicia is looking forward to putting on a confirmation class to all of our children ages 6th grade through 6th grade and up, and that should start March 15th. So if you're interested, please give her a call or email the church office, and we can put your child's name on the list. I know that all of you have heard a lot about our outreach mission and outreach committee, and going forward, we're going to be expanding that, and so I encourage you guys, we're having a new meeting, well, an outreach meeting this Tuesday, February 18th at 5 o'clock, and so anybody that's looking forward to becoming involved in that, I encourage you to join us on the 18th at 5 o'clock. We recruited some new members, and we've got some really solid old members or current members, I should say. So join us if you're interested in joining us. Also on outreach, we're selling our pecans, two for $10. So that's a huge discount. And they're really good pecans. They're like this big. So get out there and buy them after church. Goes to a good cause. And now let's continue our time of worship.
Good morning. And thank you, Katie. My name is Deborah O'Connor Slater. I'm a retired clergy person from the Upper New York Annual Conference, and I'm also a frequent attender here at University United Methodist Church. And it is my privilege this morning to help lead in our worship experience while Pastor Alicia and a number of the folks from the congregation and the Syracuse area make their pilgrimage to Israel-Palestine. So as we enter into this time of worship, I want to share with you just a little capsule of what will be happening this morning and remind us that we are and cannot be fulfilled in isolation. We, you and I, were made for relationship and for passing on the life and the love given to us by God. We've all experienced the pain of broken relationships and the joy of restored ones. How does our relationship to others define us? How does living in right relationship with God, friend, and stranger send reverberations into the world and into the future? Let us join together in our call to worship.
Good morning. I'm Sue Bates, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship. We could have stayed in bed. We could be at a cafe eating breakfast. We have chosen to be in this place, feasting on God's love. We could give a cold shoulder to our neighbors. We could stay in reading the newspapers. We could be chasing after the world's idols. We could be listening to television's talking heads.
We have chosen to serve one who blesses us with life.
Come, then, let us worship. We have chosen to be in this place with you. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 561, Jesus, United by Your Grace. We each may or may not exactly understand God's call for us, but we were all called to be here today, and we each answered that call. Please take a moment and greet others who answered that call with the love of Christ. When you hear the music, it's time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward and meet with Reverend Deborah.
Good morning. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Alicia, am I? No, I have a few more wrinkles than she does. And you'll get that at some point. But my name is... Hey, settle down. Man, I brought something for you today. Did you do something special on Friday? What was Friday? Valentine's Day. And what did you do for Valentine's Day? What's that? You slept? Aren't you lucky? Wow. What did you do?
I got lots of candy.
You got lots of candy. Excellent. Jim, did you do anything for Valentine's Day?
Nope.
Well, guess what? I have a Valentine for each one of you. Because I want to tell you, this is a Valentine that I think represents God's love for us. Now, are you familiar? Do you remember when you got your candy? Did you find any of those little candy hearts that say have words on them? We used to make. You didn't get any of those? Ah, okay. So they used to make candy hearts. Now, some of these folks who laughed earlier know exactly what I'm talking about, the candy hearts that have the words on them. And now, apparently, they don't make them anymore. So I don't know, but they don't make them anymore. But this is the sermon, the words that we're going to hear this morning in Scripture remind us that God loves us. And that we need to remember that we are made for God. We, God, and you and me are made for each other. So I want to give you a heart as a Valentine to say that God loves you and that we are made for each other as we live together and as we work together. And as we play together, yes, and you know, the only thing I have to remind you is that this is not candy. You can't eat it, okay? Nope, don't put it in your mouth, okay? But they do stick to people. So you can choose who you want to stick that on if you want to, okay? So Will you pray with me as we share in God's love? Let's pray. Our gracious God, we are grateful for the love that you share with us each and every day, and we take this heart home with us and remember that you and me and we are made for each other. Amen. Now, Miss Ann is going to take you down to Sunday school or over to Sunday school, and we'll see you later.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. It seemed like Jesus was changing the way that Scripture was being interpreted. People wanted to know if he was doing away with all the rules they had always been told to follow. Jesus explained that he was not changing the law, but interpreting it in a new, deeper way. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. Hear these words. You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, don't commit murder, and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. If they say to their brother or sister, you idiot, they will be in danger of being condemned by the governing council. And if you say, you fool, they will be in danger of fiery hell. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make things right with your brother or sister, and then come back and offer your gift. Be sure to make friends quickly with your opponents while you are with them on the way to court. Otherwise, they will haul you before the judge. The judge will turn you over to the officer of the court, and you will get thrown into prison. I say to you in all seriousness that you don't get out of there until you've paid the very last penny. You have heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to fall into sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better that you lose a part of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to fall into sin, chop it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose a part of your body than that you give your whole body go into hell. It was said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a divorce certificate. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual unfaithfulness, forces her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, don't make a false solemn pledge, but you should follow through on what you have pledged to the Lord. But I say to you that you must not pledge at all. You must not pledge by heaven because it's God's throne. You must not pledge by the earth because it's God's footstool. You must not pledge by Jerusalem because it's the city of the great king. And you must not pledge by your head because you can't turn one hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Heavy words for morning time, huh? Will you pray with me? Holy God, whether it is through me or in spite of me, let your people hear your word, and in our hearing, grant us hearts that are devoted to you. Amen. Having just celebrated Valentine's Day, I am so mindful of the Necco wafer or Necco candy hearts that have those poignant messages on them, like, be mine, and love you, and kiss me, and crazy for you. As a kid, I remember being very selective as to who would get just what candy. I had to make sure that the right person got the right candy because I didn't want to send out the wrong message. If I were to create a candy heart today to express my understanding of the greatest love story of all time, I would create a heart that says, made for each other. Unfortunately, the heart would have to be big enough and much bigger than what they currently are in order to fit all those words on it. made for each other. That's the way I understand my relationship with God to be. In the beginning, it is written, God created. God created all things, including humankind. We are created in God's image. And if we are created in God's image, then our image is grace-filled, creative, grateful. That's an authentic image of God. At God's creative hand, God links God's self with all of humankind. We were made for each other. Now, for you theologians out there, and I see a couple retired clergy, so I better be careful, but for you retired or you theologians, I'm not going to talk about or have a theological conversation about whether or not God needs humankind in order to be God. That's a conversation for another time in another place. But what I am talking about is we are loved into life by God. We are loved into life. Being a loving and gracious creator, God brings us into life. By God's own creative nature, humankind then has meaning and purpose, a place in God's creation. And that meaning and purpose and place is to be in relationship with God and with one another. The story of God, as it is told in the Old and the New Testament, continually speaks of God's abiding love, God's grace, and redemption of all of God's people, who from time to time get lost in the haze of self-importance, or greed, or hate, or envy, even lust. And the list goes on and on. This ancient tale of relationship speaks of relationship offered and lost and reclaimed. This morning, with the help of Matthew's gospel, we meet Jesus, God's messenger of redemption, among God's people gathered by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been talking to them for a while now, and the collection of people has increased as he speaks. He reminds some and announces yet to others that human beings can be in good, authentic, and whole relationship with God and with one another. In these verses, Jesus delves into the hot topics of the day: murder, retribution, betrayal, abandonment, lying. All acts of human behavior that seek and sometimes succeed in destroying relationships. With his words, Jesus points to a way to reconcile or make right those broken relationships with one another and with God. Jesus moves beyond the visible or that outward behavior of relationships to the invisible feelings of the heart. What is in your heart? Jesus asks. In his antithetical speech, Jesus is calling all listeners to align their lives with divine values, to commit themselves to the transformative power of God's love. You may not go so far as to kill someone you are angry with, yet to even think about the act of murder makes you no better than the murderer. Being in relationship with God is not only about how we act on the outside, it is about who we are on the inside. in our heart. Late night talk show host and sometimes theologian Stephen Colbert said it this way: when you take an oath, you can't think one thing and say another. I agree. In my opinion, to do so is to lie to oneself and to God. Colbert then said, when you take an oath, you are asking God to witness on the pain of your immortal soul that what you whisper in your hearts comes out of your mouth. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus is teaching first century followers and 21st century Christians what it means to live in relationship with God. Jesus invites us to do a deep dive into ourselves and really question who we believe ourselves to be, and then come to terms with who we really are. Now, I can tell you from experience, the deep dive business into who I say I am and who I am is not pretty. In fact, it is sometimes downright painful. So I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. Over the past couple of years, I have struggled with the political environment of our country, and I have wrestled with the current state of my beloved church, the United Methodist Church. My struggle has been so intense that my anxiety level became noticeably higher. My blood pressure went up. Everything I had placed my trust in seemed to be unraveling before me. I couldn't sleep. I was stress eating. I was angry. I was lashing out at authority figures. I was saying unkind things to people who have been longtime colleagues. My thoughts became their darkest when I heard myself whisper, God, could you just provide a strategically blocked artery in them, just to shut them up. Whoa. I had allowed my relationship with God to be severed. I became someone I didn't know, someone I didn't even like. I needed and I wanted to find my way back to the God of love and redemption, creativity, and hope. And in order to do that, I had to take a deep dive into my own hurt in order to reclaim the person that I want to be, the person God created me to be. I needed to reclaim my personhood so that I could recognize the personhood in all, including those with whom I fully disagree. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't pretty. Here's what I did. I began using the daily devotional by Sister Joan Chittister called The Rule of Benedict, A Spirituality for the 21st Century, and I thought I was really going to be bogged down because there's a lot of obedience in that stuff. But what I discovered about myself was that when I retired from active ministry in 2017, I pretty much retired from God. I cut off the most treasured relationship with the one who had been my heart and soul for my whole life long. I forgot that we, God and me, were made for each other. I neglected to listen and to practice my relationship with God, and so I needed to reconcile myself to God. I had to reconnect the severed lines that charged me with the capacity to love and forgive, to respond and not react. so that I could be once again the authentic image of God. This morning, our scripture lesson invites us to move beyond what might feel like shaming and blaming language. We are invited to do a deep dive into the heart of our own relationship with God. We are invited by God's grace to live a different life. We are invited to love God with our whole heart. And in loving God with our whole heart, we then are able to cultivate a capacity within ourselves to fully love one another. In her book, Joan Chittister says, "No one grows simply by doing what someone else forces us to do. We begin when we finally want to grow." Jesus is inviting us to grow in relationship with God and with one another. As it was in the beginning, Jesus tells us again that human beings can be in a good, authentic, whole relationship with God and with one another because we are made for each other. With his words and actions, Jesus invites us to dive deep into our hearts, to be reconciled with God, who loved us into being. If you are willing and you are able, I invite you to take this next step of reconciliation in your relationship with God. As we enter in and share these words of our prayer of confession, with every choice we make, we show how faithful we are to God's hopes for us. Yet despite the mistakes we make, the missteps we take, God remains forgiving and gracious. So let us come to our God speaking honestly about our lives as we pray, saying, "How often we make the wrong choices, God of our lives. There are times when we look at others through the prism of prejudice, distorting who they really are. We can let our anger feed us with bitterness and hurt. We toss about harmful words like snowballs on a winter's day. We insult those around us, neglecting to lift them up. Have mercy on us, God, who is everywhere. May we set aside our squabbling natures to be united in common worship, common service, and in a common purpose as we follow Jesus Christ. Amen." God's forgiveness dwells in our hearts. Christ's love fills us. Spirit's peace guides our steps. Our feet are set on the journey. Walking in faith and hope with our God, we will be servants to the world. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus has called us into genuine relationship, not just with people like ourselves, but with all people. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn number 560, "Help Us Accept Each Other."
Thank you.
Please be seated. We now continue in prayer and reflection by sharing with each other those things laying on our hearts today. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your prayer slip that looks like this to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time seeking Christ's presence in our lives. We will begin our prayer time with a time of silence for personal reflection. I will share a prayer, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer using the words and language that are most meaningful to you. Now settle yourself and open your mind and heart to the gentle calling of the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and thank you for the privilege of praying for others. We have been the recipient of others' prayers so often. We understand how powerful intercessory prayer can be. We ask you first to cleanse our hearts and show us if there is any unconfessed sin in our own lives, so that our prayers for others will not be hindered. We thank you that through your name we can come boldly before you and pray with confidence according to your will and know that you hear us. We lift up those in our neighborhoods, in our city, and in this church. Begin with those who follow you and help them influence others for good. Let them be salt and light, pointing others to you. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. Guard them from the hypocrisy or from giving into temptations that could harm the cause of Christ. Raise up leaders who will serve you faithfully at all costs. Turn the hearts of fathers towards their children and families towards you. Help them to exemplify your values and make them bold in their faith. Strengthen our families and those closest to you, Lord. May our love for you help us to love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come together here because of the simple fact that all are welcome here. We are united by our shared vision to feed God people, body, mind, and spirit. And our offering is one way that we affirm our commitment to that vision. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips that look like this in the plate as the ushers collect the offering and the choir blesses us with song. God, we want to journey with you despite our wrong turns, iced up windows, breakdowns, and flat tires. Take us as we are, and we will do what we can. Please remain standing and join me in our prayer of dedication. Too often, we say no to those around us. Gifts be the yes others need to hear as we recognize that hunger is all too real. Pain brings people to their knees, loneliness crisis with despair. Today, your grace, hope, peace, and will share with us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look at the graphic on the screen. How do people know we are Christians? Because we tell them? No, because we love them. Please remain standing and join me in singing. They will know we are Christians by our love.
I want to thank Danny McGowan for leading the choir and thank the entire choir and the extra voice that we had. Thank you. That was absolutely awesome. Thank you so much. Now, I invite you to go from this place to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. I invite you to bear witness to the love of God so that to those whom love is a stranger, they will find in you a generous friend. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.